From Variety, celebrating 115 years covering the business of entertainment, this is the Awards Circuit Podcast.
It was my hair. I figure I have about three more years with this hair, and then it's going to be way different. So, you know, milk it. You know, and we always look like we're working nonstop, but, you know, it's really not true.
But Ted, you are.
I am incredibly blessed, and I love going to work. I love it very much. I love having breaks with my wife, Mary. Both of us love driving through the studio gates and working with crews and actors and writers. I really, really love it a lot.
Coming off one of the most critically acclaimed comedies of the past decade, The Good Place, Ted Danson could have taken some time off, but with Hair That Good and with the writing of 30 Rock's Tina Fey and Robert Carlock, he couldn't resist heading straight back to NBC in the new comedy Mr. Mayor. I'm Michael Schneider, and on this bonus edition of the Variety Awards Circuit Podcast, we talk to Ted Danson and Holly Hunter about their starring roles in Mr. Mayor. Danson and Hunter discuss working together for the first time, developing a fast chemistry, and learning how to perform the rapid-fire jokes that are the hallmark of a Tina Fey and Robert Carlock script. They also share what it's like to work in quarantine, and Danson, who plays the mayor of Los Angeles in the series, reveals whether he has any political aspirations of his own. It's all on this bonus edition of Variety's Awards Circuit Podcast. Stay close. Originally conceived as a 30 Rock spinoff of sorts, with Alec Baldwin resurrecting his character Jack Donaghy, Mr. Mayor eventually morphed into the latest vehicle for television icon Ted Danson. Danson plays Neil Bremmer, a retired business tycoon who decides to run for Los Angeles mayor on a whim. And he wins, much to the chagrin of his own daughter, as well as city council member Arpie Meskimen, played by Holly Hunter.
I never thought I'd be standing here. This time last year, I was sitting around the pool reading World War II books. I was quarantining before it was cool.
Hi-yo! Too soon, maybe.
He's charismatic, open-minded, independent.
You're telling me that you're all in on this guy?
I'm very open to the idea of a robot police force. Thank you for reminding me.
We can find some common ground. We're both the same age, right?
I'm 10 years younger than you. But I'm perceived as a kooky old woman and you're still a sexually viable man.
Thank you.
It's Hunter's first sitcom role, and she's relishing the chance to do something different while having fun verbally sparring on camera with Danson. Much like 30 Rock or The Good Place, the show also relies on an ensemble cast that includes Bobby Moynihan as Press Secretary Jaden, as well as Vella Lavelle and Mike Cabalon as Bremmer's staff members, as well as Kyla Kennedy as the mayor's daughter. I recently spoke to Danson and Hunter about Mr. Mayor and how the show has evolved during its long development process, including reshoots that included topical references to the pandemic. But we began by discussing how Danson and Hunter hadn't known each other before signing on to do the series.
I run in shallower circles than Holly. She was in the Golden Globe. She's sitting in the movie section. I'm down in the TV section.
Exactly. Well, finally, those lines are blurring.
So what
was your first conversation like, the two of you? What was your get-to-know-each-other moment? How did you sort of broach or break the ice between you two?
Had we traded emails or something? I remember being happily astounded that Holly was going to do this. It kind of made the entire show that I had just been reading and imagining all of a sudden come roaring into focus, knowing that Holly was going to be playing Arpie Meskimen. So I remember, I hope I sent you a how excited I am kind of thing that we got to work together. But then we actually
And you did. You know, you did, but it was, for me, it was kind of a no-brainer to do it. It's like Tina, Ted, Robert, it's like, how could I not? The script was so funny, you know, it was the easiest thing ever to say yes to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like the dream team right there. So,
but let me say it was effortless because it was Holly, because Arpie Meskimen on the page is a terrifying character.
Yeah.
You know, if played with full authentic integrity and, you know, just passion and ferociousness, that Holly has brought to it would suck. It wouldn't work. It would be unbelievable. I think because of who she is, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Hey, can you guys see me now?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and you're in a car.
Isn't that so cool?
It's at a private airplane.
Isn't that so great?
And
that
I think,
actually, you can see me?
And I think yeah. Did I see a dog behind you?
No dog.
Oh, maybe that was just a shadow then.
But no, it's just a shadow of a dog. No, actually, I don't own a dog. But I'm so, you know, I'm in the car.
Are you? You're not driving, are you?
No, but I just was.
Oh.
So well, this is hi, all Holly. Practically illicit.
Hi.
This nice is almost an illicit meeting.
Well, hi, Holly. Nice to see you. Mike Schneider from Variety. Thanks both of you for doing this. Like I was saying earlier, I got a chance to watch the pilot hot off the grill. I think they just got it out of the editing bay. And was really, really pleasantly surprised at how sharp and satirical and sort of the moment the show is. But also the chemistry between the two of you, which is amazing that the two of you had never met until this show. Already there's this give and take between the two of you that I know is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Was there a concern, Ted? Did you think like immediately this was going to work? How did you two sort of work out what your relationship was going to be on camera and this give and take was going to look like?
Well, first off, my fix on chemistry is two relatively competent actors with magical words. You get chemistry. You know, chemistry is, in my mind, written. Then there's the joy of performing it together that makes for chemistry. And, you know, and Holly is one of those actors that if it's, you know, the old metaphor, if you're playing tennis with somebody way better than you, your game improves. So everybody's game improves around. No, it's true. You know, so that's chemistry. We also actually, you looked at a scene or two in the pilot that was reshot once we came. It was reshot, 4 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago. So we had shot three episodes, shut down for 9 months, came back, and because of COVID, we had to rewrite the script here and there. So we thought it'd be just better to reshoot some scenes. And it was actually most of the scenes with Holly and me that got reshot. So we had this Zoom relationship and appreciation, the whole cast did, of each other during COVID, kind of holding each other's hands and checking in. So I don't know. What do you think, Holly?
Well, I mean, I agree with you that chemistry often is on the page. If you have the right two people in the parts, then it's not like chemistry is on the page, because I don't fully believe. I believe that fully, but I don't fully think that's everything. I do believe that there is chemistry between actors that is kind of an ineffable thing. You have it or you don't.
Yeah, well,
I think that when you're dealing with Ted has the most sophisticated, he's got the most sophisticated instincts and intuitions for comedy. So when Ted ever speaks up about blocking, about the words, about when sentences are being spoken, props, where we are in the room, all that stuff, I listen, because his intuitions are that they're unerring. And so I've had a bit of a tutorial between Bobby Moynihan and Ted in the thing of comedy, which was very daunting to me, because I've never done a sitcom. It is a different thing.
Yeah.
I've done comedies, but not for a long time. So it was scary.
Yeah, and
now it's no longer scary, and I just continue to watch and listen to what Ted's instincts are.
And I was going to say, with the Tina Fey and Robert Carlock show, there's so much going on. There's so much comedy going on. There's so many like moments that it's one of those where you almost have to watch the episode 3-4 times to catch all the jokes, all the moments, all the little asides. That's got to be fun, but also daunting to sort of capture all of that.
Yeah, it is. Because
go ahead, Ted.
It's a little bit like downhill skiing. You can't safe, if you're on a very steep hill, you have one choice is point your skis down and ski it as fast and as well as you can. And if you try to sit back a little bit, you fall. And I think it's a little bit like that. You just have to trust. You have to really know your words, you know, and then kind of joyfully leap off the cliff.
Ted, I wanted to talk about, you're coming off one of the greatest half hours of the past decade in The Good Place. You were allowed to take a break. You're coming back so soon. What made you decide to like get right back up and sort of do a back-to-back shows?
It was my hair. I figure I have about 3 more years with this hair and then yeah. It's going to be way different. So, you know, milk it. You know, we always look like we're working nonstop, but you know, it's really not true.
But Ted, you are.
I am incredibly blessed. And I love going to work. I love it very much. I love having breaks with my wife, Mary. But we both love driving through the studio gates and working with crews and actors and writers. I really, really love it a lot.
Yeah, by the way, the hair is still amazing. And there's one of my favorite back and forths between you two and the pilot is even when Holly calls you Whitey. And then just as an aside, she's like, I'm referring to the hair.
Yes.
I will say, you know, something that Ted and I talked about maybe while we were doing some of these reshoots, where I said, hey, so like the jokes go by really fast. And I was like, Do we hold for any of them?
give the audience a moment.
Like, no. You know, you feel the wind in your hair, you move on.
It's kind of an interesting idea of setting the show right after the pandemic is over. And talk about that. It allows the show to comment on what's going on now, but not dwell on it, sort of move on from there, but sort of still reference what we're all experiencing right now. And I know some of that came out of the reshoots, right? Where it was sort of decided to sort of comment on that. Ted, what'd you think of that? And sort of, you know, how, you know, playing, you can't ignore the pandemic, but you also can't sort of dwell on it too much.
Right. I thought it was kind of brilliant because for what you just said, I mean, you need to acknowledge you can't, and especially if you're Tina and Robert who are topical, they have the ability to be kind of universal, timeless, but take topical shots going very quickly through the script. You'll see something that's actually very current. So you couldn't ignore it. But you also, you didn't want to dwell on it. You're right. You wanted to move on. And I think throughout maybe 3 or 4 episodes, we have occasional reference. The mayor has he wants to do some big safety project for LA, something simple though, because he's still new. And so he decides that helmets for the electric scooter, there'll be a safe LA thing. So, but one of the first lines addressing, you know, an impromptu street press conference with people standing around was, now I know a lot of you independent thinkers wouldn't even wear masks, but what do you think about helmets? You know, so there are little pokes along the way, but by and large, we want to get back up and running with COVID in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, and Holly, talk about your character. Talk about Arpy. What do you make of her? When we meet her, she seems a little off hinged, but you know, at the same time, is a perfect foil for the mayor who doesn't really know what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I love. I think there's something slightly mysterious about Arpy. Like I think that she's difficult to get a real handle on. It's one of the things that I love about her on the page immediately is like, what does she stand for? there's a lot of contradictions. And as the show goes on, they really make the contradictions manifest in kind of very sometimes shocking ways, but mainly surprising. But I love that while she can be very condemning, she's also kind of enlightening. I mean, she wants to enlighten the mayor. She can decimate him, but she also wants to enlighten him, which is more humane than just abject evisceration.
And what do you think about that relationship between the two, Ted? What's your take on this relationship between the mayor and Arpi?
I'm going to back up a little bit in answering that, which is I think a great deal of the fun for me in acting, and I think Holly too, is that it's a contact sport. You know, this is a fist fight. So to have somebody, when you smack somebody and they turn around, this is metaphorically, when you smack somebody with the words or the actions that you're doing and the other person reaches around and hits you even harder, it's very exciting. And so it's translate that to the characters. I think it's exciting. I am a billionaire. I may have kind of quit to hang around with my daughter and help raise her after her mother died. But, you know, he's a billionaire who fixes things. Whether he's shallow about what he fixes, that's his joy in life, to make things, he's proud of making things work. So he's, you know, he's a lightweight, he's a bit of an innocent, I like to say. But he is curious, he's intellectually curious, he is smart enough to know that Arpi has a lot to offer, even though she may be wanting to take me out. You know, so I think that fair fight amongst equals, even though I'm not really her equal. I think the mayor is, you know, playing at a deficit here, which is what makes it funny.
Yeah.
But I think they enjoy each other's, the stimulation of each other.
Totally. Totally. And I also think that it's interesting to be playing on Tina and Robert's playground in that there is a certain level of there's a certain level of smart that all of the characters are. Like the playing field is not, these are not Rhodes Scholars.
Although
you know, the characters only achieve a certain level of brilliance.
And only if they
and I think that
together.
Is automatically funny. I think it's automatically funny when people are not the smartest.
Yeah. Which brings us to Bobby Moynihan.
So you have a whole cast of characters who fill that bill.
Yeah. Which I think first on the list is Bobby Moynihan. You know, who is certainly not the brightest tool intellectually in the box, but he intuitively, he can sometimes be brilliant.
True. And we all have to fit into the box. You know, we're all in the same box. We're all in the same box with Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah. Which means there has to be a certain amount of tolerance within our personalities.
Right. And also a certain amount of naivete that
yes.
all of the characters possess.
Yeah.
Or else we can't play in this sandbox. You know.
I'm not sure, though, that I want to see that much of Bobby Moynihan's feet. Is that... Are we just going to have to get used to his sandals?
Whole seasons devoted towards Bobby's feet.
That's something.
I think that is played in the pilot. I can't quite remember, but
okay.
But there are other idiosyncrasies to bring you joy.
Totally.
So Ted, talk about kind of the inspiration for the mayor. When I think of a businessman who becomes mayor of LA, I think of Richard Reardon. Who is there a particular mayor or politician who you're sort of thinking about or channeling, or is this kind of a...
Yeah, I wish I had a wonderful actor studio response. And I don't. And I for not necessarily when I go off and do other, when I'm not doing comedy, when I'm not doing sitcom, basically, which this is, then I'm then I will do what you're talking about. I will learn how to do things that my character does in the script that I don't know how to do. But on sitcoms, you know, especially because every week you learn something new about yourself, some massive contradiction to what you thought you were.
Right.
You know, it's so anyway, here's my philosophy. One of my jobs that's specific to my character and to me, Ted, is to be a way in to this particular brand of insanity, which means I have to remain approachable so that when I love and behold RP being totally whatever RP is in that moment, the audience has a way in too. So my job is not to be, it's not to find a character that I arrive with or an inspiration. For me, it's try on, you know, and it's also one last, it's also a dance. Doing sitcom is a dance. There is a metronome going. There is music. There is rhythm that dictates
totally
what you're doing. You know, you can do iambic pentameter, you know, you can do Shakespeare in many different ways, but you always will be doing the meter. And it's the same to some degree with comedy. So you try on all, you know, Tina and Robert's words, and you let them flow through you. And out comes a character if you are passionately committed to Tina and Robert's brain and doing your best to do their words. Out comes something different than you, a little bit, right?
That's brilliantly said.
Well,
there, I mean, can't top that.
What Ted said is utterly, completely, in a way, it's a mystery of working with great material, and you recognize some of the components of what makes it great, and you bow to that, and then out comes surprising, unknown things to yourself and to anybody watching, and to the room, to the cast of characters. You know, everybody is influenced by that revelation that's occurring in the moment from people simply bowing to the music of the scene. So many things are revealed that you could never know before.
Yeah. And by the way, Holly and I are talking because we're probably next to Bobby the most recognizable, you know, names to get the project out into the world. But everybody shows up with that same game sensibility, all of them. So we're really blessed that when you do find something that in a moment that, you know, that Holly just was talking about, everybody to a man and woman respond to it and let that change their performance. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I imagine, especially in that first season when everyone's still sort of getting their feet wet, figuring out who are these characters, what's their relationship like, and there must be those eureka moments where you do a scene or you sort of you hit on something and you're like, oh, this is going to be an important part of the show. This is part of the DNA. Maybe we didn't even realize this was going to be a part of the DNA, but no, this relationship or this give and take, this personality quirk. I imagine season one, you're sort of hitting a lot of those things and realizing as the season goes on, oh, this is who these people are. This is what this relationship is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think because it's Tina and Robert, the opposite is also true. Like whatever you discover, the opposite is is completely revealed the very next episode. And that is so funny to me. In some ways, there are things you cannot count on because it's Tina and Robert. And that's what makes it so much fun to play.
They're keeping you on your toes. How
yeah.
how difficult is it to shoot these days with the COVID protocols and everything going on? I imagine that's obviously an added level of stress and difficulty in shooting a show. How have both of you sort of adjusted to this reality right now?
Well, I don't have to go first, Holly, but I will preface for both of us is that we all, everybody, all the actors, camera operators, boom people, the entire 120 people crew know how lucky we are to be working in this moment. So many people don't get to. We're also incredibly lucky because our industry has the money, to be honest, and the desire to move forward, that the protocols they've come up with are by and large working. It doesn't mean it's infallible, but we've kept community spread out of the thing. So just so we're aware of how blessed we are. We're aware that we're in a world that this isn't true for everybody. So I just say that. Then, yeah, it's a trip. Holly, what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, it's everything that Ted just said. And yes, it is stressful. And because you are dealing with the health of people and you can't help but also bring in, there's the awareness that there's a tremendous amount of loss in the world as we are working, and that so many people are not able to work. And it's a strange alchemy that comes into shooting that, of course, we've never experienced before because of the cost of what the entire globe is going through. And acting is fun. I mean, acting is just fun. And so that comes into play as well. The familiarity of what Ted and I have been doing for decades, that kicked, you know, it's just like, it's child's play. It's, you know, it's working, but more than work, it is work, but it's really play. And when people get tired of acting, I think they lose that sense of play. And this cast just has that in spades. So it's a real mixed thing of going to work, the gravitas, and then the elation.
No, I think a weird time.
It is a weird time in LA, and it's not just LA, obviously, but LA, California, LA, America is really on fire, and you can. You know, all of a sudden you go from, I know so many people are suffering, but I in my circle or circle of circles of circles, I don't really know anyone yet who's maybe one or two early on. Now everybody knows somebody who, you know, who's wrestling with this. And so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know you guys had to shut down production just the other day for the remainder of the year. I mean, it's right. Hitting productions, obviously, and I mean, it sounds like the protocols are working. Productions are shutting down when outbreaks occur, but nonetheless, this is sort of becoming a new normal, at least for now in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I mean the numbers are so up in the city of Los Angeles that there's no way that you can really avoid it, no matter what the protocol is. It's going to seep into any community because it's so pervasive right now in Los Angeles, as it is in so many communities across the country.
Yeah, and Ted, you're going to add to that?
Yeah, it's a strange time, but by and large, when they say action and you've taken off your masks, it is the years of loving to play kicks in. So I don't think what we've shot has suffered. I think it's changed because we can't go here or go there, or we can only have a few less people in the room with us or whatever. But by and large, I think the scripts and the acting and the shooting of has not suffered.
So
this may be the longest first season ever you know. We're doing 13 episodes.
It is, man.
In a year and a half.
Yeah, know, so. Yeah. Well, you're taking your time to, but in a way, it's allowing Robert and Tina to really sort of hone this. And I could even tell in that first episode, you know, the fact that you were able to go back and reshoot things and sharpen yeah. things.
Actually, you know what? That brings Holly and I have talked about this, that we're afraid that Tina and Robert actually might suck if they have a normal, you know, shooting schedule. Maybe they need all this time.
Yes, exactly. They need a pandemic to hone the show.
To hone their skills.
Yeah.
Ted, when I see you playing a mayor, it brings up the idea of Ted Danson for mayor of Los Angeles. Would you know? Does that ever come to mind when you're actually portraying the mayor? That I wonder what this would be like to actually be the mayor of Los Angeles or get into politics in that way.
Nope. One big nope. You know what? I don't know what's so. I mean, I love that I'm playing the mayor of LA. I love that I live in LA. I love that I'm learning, maybe not necessarily through the scripts, but I am more aware of LA. We all are of the sadnesses and the suffering and the issues and the problems. But no, I take a vote to cross the street. I'm not that political leader. I love to kibitz. I don't want to, you know, be the one writing the rules. I don't know this. I don't know this particular mayor. I was born to play, you know, because I'm a silly man with a serious soul. I am an innocent who is always slightly playing out of his league. I love being hoisted by my own petard. Nothing cracks me up than realizing what an idiot I have just been in a moment. All of these things, and I'm entitled. I am so entitled, and I so just by my circumstances in life think that I have things to offer that I really don't. You know, it's all perfect. I get to act out this period of my life. No. I'm still a player. I may be 73, white, and way the fuck out of touch, but no, I'm a player. Don't count me out. You know, it's just ridiculously silly and wonderful to play at my age.
How about you, Holly? Is this when you drive around Los Angeles now, do you have a different sort of mindset, you know, having worked now on a show that sort of, you know, satirizes politics a little bit, satirizes Los Angeles a little bit? Do you have a different view now on this?
Well, I mean, Los Angeles politics are so complex. I can't even go into it. I mean, I'm not the person. That's not my métier. I'm with Ted on that. I mean, I am doing what I should be doing, which is acting. I'm very comfortable with that. I like that.
And by the way,
in a way, but also it's completely apolitical show.
Yeah.
It's a show not about politics at all. It kind of gets down, and it's a different playground of scrappiness. I mean, I think that all of these characters have such attitude. Every single one of them is filled with attitude. Whether the attitude is earned is another thing. But the fun part of it is exactly what Ted was saying a few minutes ago, which is that it's kind of a fist fight. So, I mean, you know, politics is its own fist fight, but that's one that's, I'll read about on the front page, but I'm really glad we're not doing that.
Yeah, and for you, Holly, coming from Succession, yeah, another sort of fist fight, another delicious ensemble of all sorts of craziness. So fun to see you kind of go from that to this as well. So as we sort of our final moments, what should we expect in season one of Mr. Mayor? What are you excited for viewers to discover when they finally get a chance to watch this long in the making show as it finally hits the air in January. Ted, what are you excited for people to see and learn?
This is an old trick to blame the writers, but I'm excited to have people see this slice of Tina and Robert's brain. I think it's really, I think they found something that they're having fun writing. You know, it's one of those, I think, really well grounded in reality in 1 second and then spiraling out of control into some insane, far-fetched, almost unbelievable moment. And I think that's what they do so well. And I really just can't wait to share the, you know, the cast of characters. And to be honest, I never know how to answer that because I'm not the writer who has more of that kind of vision. But as the actor playing this, I just can't wait for this to be witnessed, you know, and, yeah. and to get feedback and all of that. And I also, you may not know this Holly Hunter, but you know Holly, you know me. You don't really know Bobby, and you have no idea about Mike Cabalon and Vella Lavelle and Kyla Kennedy, but you will because they're so such wonderful, nimble actors, and they are being written by, you know, Tina and Robert. So over the first season, I think you will get this. What's wonderful is when you have a cast of 5 or 6 people that the writers can write to each one of them and have them be able to carry a story. And I think that's where we're headed by the end of season 1. That didn't answer your question, but there you are.
You did. And actually that reminds me beautifully of The Good Place as well, and how a lot of those actors we didn't know at first. And by the end of The Good Place, we knew them so well and saw such amazing things done by them. So I'm excited to see you now playing with a new cast of characters, including Holly Hunter. And Holly, what are you excited for people to see as Mr. Mayor debuts?
Well, I think the general effervescence, the general lift off the ground that I think that the show can do because of the scripts and because of how they're steering the ship. I love to get direction from both Tina and Robert. It's always really enlightening to me to hear what their take is on a scene. It's always a little surprising. And I think that the show, I think it's enlivening for audiences to be stimulated like this, especially after this period of time that we've been through together. As a country, as a city, as a community, as a family, it's so great. Well, it's great to be able to laugh. And I think they provide some kind of complex laughter. You know, it's completely low brow, you know, semi high brow. I mean, they're just like all over the map. And I think it's really, I think people will really feel a release from seeing the show.
No, I definitely, it scratches that 30 Rock itch, which, you know, we still love and remember so well. And it's also a way to sort of, you know, kick off 2021, hopefully on a positive note. We've got a new Ted Danson, Holly Hunter joint to check out. So that already makes this year, this coming year, a better one than the shit show that was 2020. So I hope for the both of you and for all of us, for the world, that we're entering a better year. Here's to the new year. Happy New Year to the two of you. Thank you so much. And best to both of you as Mr. Mayor gets off the ground.
Thank you for writing about us. Thank you for your intelligent questions. This was fun.
Mr. Mayor airs Thursdays at 8 p.m. on NBC starting January 7. And that's it for this edition of Variety's Award Circuit Podcast. Drew Griffith edited this episode, and Michael Schneider, hey, wait a second, that's me, is the producer. Be sure to subscribe to the Award Circuit Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Also, head on over to Variety.com and click on the Award Circuit tab to find the latest Oscar predictions and key races, as well as your daily fix of news, analysis, and reviews. For Janelle Riley, Clayton Davis, and Jazz Tanque, I'm Michael Schneider, and we'll see you on the circuit.